Again, welcome. This month, the month of August, is our Foundations Month. And during this month, we go over things that are supposed to be foundational truths about our faith. Today's sermon is about a foundational truth that actually in a breakfast with Pastor, he and I kind of joked about a little bit because it's about love. Now, if the act of loving was a school course, Pastor thought that, you know, if this is basic, then he's still playing with blocks. Well, if Pastor's still playing with blocks, I think I'm still learning to crawl. But he said it's foundational, so that's what we're going to go with. Quick aside, since she's not here, and this is probably the only Sunday we can do it, in September we're having a surprise birthday party, or the family is throwing a surprise birthday party for Miss Harrietta at the fellowship hall. She's turning 75. So, A, don't tell her. B, don't let her listen to the CD. And C, y'all be available to the family and y'all come out and support her and thank her for all these many years that she's blessed us on this earth. Back to the message. Now, I know you guys have heard plenty of messages around here about love. But I wanted to address to you a lesson that I learned from just this summer. A lesson where God had to show me himself so that I would understand what he commands for me to do. You might notice that in today's lesson, it will probably be a lot slower and more deliberate because it was a hard lesson, yet still we're all still learning. The main thing I had to learn was this, and for those of you who take notes, this is my main point, that a Christian is to love regardless because God loves us abundantly. A Christian is to love regardless of the person, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, because God loves us abundantly in spite of. My message for you today is entitled, Love in Spite of. Over the summer, right before my son's camp and a week before vacation, my son developed an abscess. Now, I was not overly concerned. He had just been to the orthodontist who had explained any pain that he had been having and had been not overly concerned about what he saw. Yet his mother, my ex-wife, was panicking. Her reaction was like the child was going to die. A reaction in which I thought was a little overboard. She was insistent that I take him to the dentist, and she fussed, and after a while I said, fine, we took him. Indeed, he did have an abscess. They gave him some antibiotics, and we sent him on. He goes through a week of camp, comes back home, not really feeling anything out of the ordinary. But, you know, still some of the pussiness is still there. So we're getting ready to go to vacation, and she's like, but I need reassurance that he's going to be fine while you're on vacation. And I'm thinking, the boy's fine. He's going to be. She fusses. All right, fine. We go back to the dentist. He gives us a second round of antibiotics to take if he needs it. Okay. We go on vacation. He has no problem. Didn't take any other medication. Didn't need it. We get back home. And immediately she calls again to say, all right, I want the tooth taken out because I'm just afraid of what's going to happen. Now, y'all know me as a very mild-mannered young man. Bill Bixby ain't got nothing on me. At this point, I snap. I'm like, this is ridiculous. We have gone through, the doctor said, well, as the marriage ministry folks know, I think we entered into something called the crazy cycle. I would better describe it as war ensued. Salvos were thrown, choice comments were made, advisors and mediators were brought in. By the end of this two-day time period, the poor boy had finally had the tooth removed, probably had two or three more emotional scars thrown in that were never intended to be thrown in at him. And I was at a point of total indignation. I was mad. I didn't want anything to do with her ever. I was done. As a matter of fact, I believe my words, and my wife will tell you, were, I hate you. I hate you. A lot of love and grace in that, isn't it? Well, now, y'all know if you've been Christian for a while that something's coming, right? Hebrews 12:4-13 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as father addresses his son. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord's discipline, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his sons. So I'm sitting at my desk at the church, knowing that I'm going to have to give a message during this month. Going, Lord, what should I talk about? Well, he kind of sits me down and starts to replay all of the words and the emotions and the thoughts that went on throughout that week. Everything that I had said. Every action that I had done. And then he said, is this my love? Now, me being me, because I know y'all don't do this, so me being me, I kind of lean back in my little swivel chair for a second. I'm like, hey, I'm right. I am right in this situation. She disrespected me. cross the line. Just me. Yeah, I know I'm preaching to the choir when it comes to y'all folks. Y'all holy folks here. I work with them, those folks that he's still working on. But so, you know, God being who he is, he's real good about this. Said, all right, you're not listening, I'll take a different tack. So we go to couples meeting, and I'm listening to, y'all came at me from all sides. Listening to the couples group, and we're talking about, you know, how husbands need to love their wives and understanding how when we're starting to hear them fuss and they're arguing and all that, you know, really it's a cry to say, love me. Love me. So I'm like, all right. Then I get in the car with my beautiful love of my life. And she's kind of quiet and sits me down and says, you know, Bobby, I would have been just as insistent for my baby. And Baku, she does call you baby, so all 6 foot of you. She and she said to me, could her eyes have been closed only because it was her? And then she said, does your eyes close and your heart harden as much at me when I hurt you? It was a little bit longer and a little bit tearier, but it was about right. But my eyes did open. My eyes did open. You know, all of us do get to the brink. All of us do get to a point to where, you know, and we're just ready to just strike. But then God said, you know what? I'm a good teacher. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to teach you again how to love. So he took me to 1 John, 4th chapter, 7th through the 8th verse. And he read me the first two verses and said, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God said, you know what? I'm going to teach you to love in spite of, because number one, I want you to know what love is. Love is me. Love is what I give. So it's both a noun and a verb. Love is what I want you to use to show others who I am. Love is also what I use to show you who I am. What a loving God makes you. Loving God, loving like God, makes you more like God. I was like, all right, God, I got that. I got that. You know how you're standing in front of Dad and they starting that, and you're like, ugh. You're still tensed up. So I was still a little tense, but I'm like, all right, I got that. You know, I was softening a little bit. And then he said, all right, so that you would have an example of what love is, I want you to just read on. I said, all right, Lord, I got you. So verse 9, he said, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So He said, first of all, my love is a sacrifice. I want you to see the example that I'm giving to you. Loving in spite of is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of your motives. It's a sacrifice sometimes of how you feel about yourself sometimes. It's a sacrifice of giving out of more than just what you get. You see, God said, you know what? I'm going to love Bobby for where he is and who he is. Not for the perfect Bobby that I'm going to create him into being. I love you so much that I gave my son for you. I didn't sit there with a sheet and qualify, say, is he a Republican or a Democrat? Is he straight or is he gay? Is he an atheist or is he Christian? Is he black or is he white? Is he Hindu or is he Gentile? Is he Jew or is he Muslim? He said, I have a creation, period. I love that creation, period. My son is going to die on that cross for his sin, period. He said, I'm going to look at you and I'm not going to look at how bad you messed up beforehand or how bad you're going to mess up afterwards. That's immaterial. I don't care how far along you have to go. I love you now and always. In one of the scriptures, he uses an abounding love. You know what that means? It's an ever-flowing blood love. It is a love that just continues to give and give and give and give and give. It has no condition. It has no stop. How often do we stop our love because of who crosses our path? It is a love that focuses squarely on Him. It is also a painful love. Why do I say painful? I'm not talking about somebody hitting you on, no. Not physically anyway. We all know how hard it is sometimes to sit back and forgive someone who has offended us. We all know how hard it is to see that person that hurt us so deeply and say, I love you anyway. It's painful because it causes us to have to take a step back and focus not on ourselves, but on God. It's a love that says, show everyone me instead of showing everyone you. And in doing so, that same scripture says it perfects us. It completes us. Because it starts to remove those pieces out of us that makes us less like Him. You see, in that situation, God had to show me, you know what? You're my child. But so is she. She's not perfect. But neither are you. I ain't like that one. But see, it's true. See, once when you can start to look at people just as God sees them, you have a tendency to look past a little bit of where they come up short. Matter of fact, if you look at them the way God sees them, when I mean by them, I'm talking about the them that you see in the mirror. That them, you see that you got a few warts and pimples and things as well. But in God's eyes, you're so much loved. You got perfect clear seal skin. Wearing a white robe and embraced always by a loving Father. Loving in spite of is loving like God. And then he took me to verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19 says, if I can find it, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Loving in spite of means that God is there to help you change into loving without fear. Loving in spite of means that you don't have to walk around in the fear of what might happen next. See, a lot of times we tend to step back away from love because we're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid of how we're going to be seen. We're afraid of how we're going to be perceived. For me in that situation, I was afraid that I was going to be perceived as a pushover. That I was going to be perceived as not strong enough to handle what was going on with my child. How dare you? That I wasn't going to be perceived as a strong enough man. Every man in here knows what I'm talking about when I say that. Because how many times have we been in a situation when all we had to do was say, I'm sorry? And we would have probably created a situation that was just glorious. And instead, we went back like, not me. I'm right. I'm justified. See, that's a fear. That's a fear of that perception. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm sorry. Sometimes. I got another member. All right, thank you. That's all right. It's all right. I ain't say it was going to be easy to say I'm sorry. But it's okay to do it. Because when we're able to sit back and really just see where it was that we were, where we were wrong, and say, you know what? My bad. I did that. My bad. It soothes a lot of hurts. It soothes a lot of pain. And don't get me wrong. I want you to understand something with this. Don't get me wrong. Just because you say you're sorry does not necessarily mean that that person's going to accept it. Okay? Forgiveness, again, is not for them. It is for you. It is to heal your heart. It is so you can continue to love. You hear me? That man that you thought was just the greatest of all things, who left you at the altar, left you at the mall, left you for someone else, or just left. Be grateful. Because the space that he vacated is the one that God filled. That woman that hurt you, talked bad about you, made you lose your job. Hey! She's the same child of God that he's working on. But when your heart is healed, it makes you now ready to move to where he wants you next, to where he's taking you next. That space is now empty for him to fill so that he can move you to your next level. You see, fear gets in the way of our moving up. Fear gets in the way of our moving out and exploring into the world. Our youth know what we're talking about when we're talking about fear. Y'all know that. Fear of a class, fear of a teacher, fear of a situation, fear of being the only one, fear of being new, all of it. But guess what? It doesn't stop when you're 18, 19, 15, 14, 13. It continues at 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. All right? It's got to stop around 80, though. I mean, come on now. I think at 80, you just don't care. You know? It stays there. But if you're able to get the fear out of the way, if you're able truly to walk in the love that you see now your situation changes. You're not afraid of making a move because how people perceive you. Now you're making a move fully in the love of God's space. See, that's how you have to make those moves, knowing that he's there. The youth and I went through last Sunday talking about Psalms 139. And we saw how the psalmist talked about God being there in the dark places and in the light places. How he was there in the highs and in the lows. How he was there when enemies were against him as well as when he was doing well. And what that is they were basking. No. They were basking. I won't say that. They had put a seat, buckled in, and were driving a vehicle of love. And they were saying, God, just take me where you will. Because no matter where it is, no matter where the journey takes me, if I end up in hell or I end up in heaven, I know that you are there. And because of that love, I can move mountains. How many of you want to move mountains today? Then get rid of that fear. Move in that love, because God is going to make sure that he's got you. He's got you. He's going to prop you up. He's going to move you. He's going to guide you. He's going to keep you. You ain't got to worry about what this person looks like, thinks, or anything else. When Elder Jim talked about his job situation, where he was in a position and then did the task that they thought he couldn't do, and then at the end of the task was fired. None of that was in that person's control. It was in God's control, because then God took him to a better position after that. God has got you. So don't do anything or treat anyone out of your fear. The face that you see is the one that God loves. So keep moving in his love. Verse, hope y'all got that. Verse 20 and 21 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Loving in spite of comes with a challenge. That challenge is to love in the characteristics of God. So often we read 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings. We talk about love, this nice squishy thing, you know, it's all mushy. 1 Corinthians 13 is not just for the wedding party, y'all. Verse 4 through 7 says, or through 8a says, love is patient. God said, son, I'm going to challenge you to be patient in love. Not only in loving someone that right now you seem to despise, but I also want you to be patient in loving yourself. Because the same changes I'm making in her, I'm making in you. Love is kind. Love is looking at a person regardless of who they are and seeing them as God sees them. Seeing them pure love. Not for what they did. Not for what you think they might do. But just as a loving child of God. It does not envy. Does not boast. And it is not proud. In other words, it doesn't hold on to wrongs like a vault. Every time you see them, they come back up. Erase that off your Kindle, your Facebook, your Instagram, your InstaChat. But be, as God says, when he says he's slow to anger, he's abounding in love. When I looked that up, it said a number of times in the song, slow to anger. It was followed up with abounding in love and compassion. I was like, So the key to my anger is my love, my compassion. It's like, all right, I can work with that. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And then this is the part that I love the most. Because I'm going to give y'all an out that I had to find out that I also had. It says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You say, all right, Brother Bobby, then what's the out? What are you talking about? Because all you said to us today is we got to love. We got to love in spite of. And in doing that, you know, you've given me a lot of to-dos, and I'm feeling a little bit burdened. And how am I going to do this? And I'm like, God always sees you for where you are. And he's going to patiently work through you. But he also understands. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. There are times that we will stumble and we will fall. This challenge is a hard challenge. It is not elementary size challenge. It's master's level. Darn near PhD. But it's doable. But if you can love to, if you can learn to love in spite of, then you can learn to love and see your brother, whether he hurts you or whether he loves you, as the one thing that he really and truly is, and that is God's child. So, to all of you, I have to say that I'm still working on my lesson. You, hey, that's all right. You're absolutely right. I'm still lurking. It's still hard. But with each coming day, I'm beginning to see that as my heart grows, I'm able to love better. I'm able to be more compassionate with those that might get on my nerves. And I'm able to be a lot better with me. Because I know that at the end of the day, no matter how good I was or how bad I messed it up, I can always cuddle into the arms of my God and say thank you for loving me. That is your release today. That no matter what, in spite of all you've done, thought about doing, God loves you. In spite of all you've done, or whatever you do, God loves you. Amen.